So the ad hoc committee really basically served as a kind of a stopgap. In 2011, 2012, it occurred to me that where formal pro bono programs existed in Texas, those districts represented or generated probably 70% of all new appeals that were filed on a statewide basis. And that meant to me that 70% of Texans had access to a pro bono program. The corollary meant that 30% did not have access to that. And so what the state bar did, the appellate section did, is it worked with the clerks of the courts of appeals that did not have a formal pro bono program and said, really just kind of emphasized that these services are out there. If you want to have a pro bono lawyer represent a pro se litigant before your court, let us know and we will find a way to screen that case as we do with our other cases. And so over the past several years, we've had great enthusiasm from the clerks at the courts of appeals. We've had a lot of contact from clerks sending cases from across the state. And in the meantime, other courts of appeals have adopted their own formal programs. And so our end goal is ultimately to make pro bono appellate representation opportunities available for litigants across the state without regards to geography. And so I really commend the appellate section for its work on making this happen because, you know, you ought not be denied a lawyer because you live in Bowie, Texas, when you would have one if you live in Rockwall. It's just in the exact same case. You know, your rights are as important, and if you can't afford your day in court, then something's wrong. And that's a gap that we can solve as members of the bar. So that's at the intermediate court level. And the other initiatives that the State Bar has worked on with the Supreme Court of Texas involve opportunities for pro bono placement of cases at the Supreme Court. The way this operates is the Supreme Court created at the time what it called its pro bono pilot program. And if a case was pending before the Supreme Court that involved a pro se litigant, and if the Supreme Court requested briefing on the merits, the Supreme Court would refer the case to its pro bono program. And the letter would go out to the litigants, to the court, to the liaison to the program, and indicating this case has been set with the program. If you're interested in obtaining a pro bono lawyer to represent you, please notify the liaison. And then the litigant would work with the liaison, and if there's a match, they would send it out. A lawyer would work with the client, represent the client before the Supreme Court at the briefing on the merit stage and at oral argument stage if it became necessary. And so that program's been in place for a number of years. And I will tell you that I've been the liaison to that program since 2011. And so when a case is placed, I will get the referral and then contact the pro se litigant. And then if there's a match, we match it up. And I will tell you that in getting ready for this presentation, I did a review of a spreadsheet of all of the cases that the Supreme Court has referred to the pro bono program. And the very first one I saw had a pro se lawyer, pro bono lawyer, named Tim Patton.
That's right.
And so he handled the very first case that the Supreme Court did. And I think he and I were talking about this, and I'll just interrupt real quick and let him interrupt because it's an interesting story.
It was a habeas corpus case about which I knew nothing. And it got to the Supreme Court because it involved a juvenile murder conviction. And so I ended up arguing it in the Supreme Court, and the first words out of Justice Green's mouth were that we don't know anything about habeas corpus, and we're hoping you do. And I said, I don't really know much. And I pointed to the DA on the other side. I said, he's the only guy in the room who knows about this. I lost, but that's probably not helpful. But it was a really good experience, other than all the letters from my client that just kept coming long after my representation was over, but I digress. But one point I wanted to make about immigration appeals is that some of them aren't that hard, and you could do some of them fairly quickly. There's an outfit out of Maryland, the BIA Pro Bono Project, where I get most of our appeals. They publish a list each week of appeals that are available for you to take. Some of them are horrendously complicated. Some of them aren't that difficult. The beauty of this is, for most of these cases, if you take a case, you're going to save somebody's life. And I'm going to do a really quick war story. Our most recent case involved a Honduran gentleman. And he's got three sons, or he had three sons.